B-Pod Studios.
Casper and Murray have scorching hot takes. Twisting your mind with Pat Celtics and Bates. They'll also talk socks and out-of-town things. Just call them up on this Saturday. Casper
and Murray.
Casper
and Murray.
Just call them up on this Saturday. Casper
and Murray.
Casper
and Murray.
Casper and Murray, 98.5, the Sports Hub from the Town Fair Tire Studios. So you know how, like, I always get on you for being cheap about certain stuff, even though you're willing to spend on clothes and, like, you know, you take care of yourself, but you'll drive around for an hour and be late for dinner because you want to find a free parking spot?
Correct.
Like, I have my own things about this. Like, I'm a cheap ass about things I shouldn't be, like socks, underwear, and headphones. Like, you would, you know, headphones are imperative to working in this business.
Yes.
I've had the same pair going on 8 years, and I basically refuse to get a new pair, but I'm going to have to because I mean, either that or I'm going deaf because they definitely, this one in my left ear definitely doesn't work and it's going to drive me crazy all day.
Oh, no.
The good thing is it's only 90 minutes you have to deal with my madness this morning and this afternoon.
I would think for someone like you, Jim, who's been in the radio business so long and is on the most high-profile show in Boston, like Felgram, it would be like NBA players who just get like free sneakers. Like, I just imagine you having like boxes of headphones in your locker back here. Like, it's like a freebie, right?
You'd think. You know, it's funny. I always laugh. And what I really mean is it makes me mental, and I'm quite angry about it. When I worked at 5,000-watt WFNX, which had all of, 22 listeners, I had more juice at that station than I have ever had here working for the biggest show in the city where, you know, I think the Cume is around, like, 500,000 listeners a week. I'm very lucky to be working on that show. But no, like, never waited in lines, never had to pay for tickets to shows back in the 2000s, working at that, you know, that basically like a college station. Here, I got nothing. Nothing free. Waiting in lines, just another schmuck.
So I actually heard that's not true because I went to a fantastic restaurant last night.
I got some restaurant juice.
With my lady for Valentine's Day, Branch Line, that you had recommended to me. And somebody over there mentioned to me that there's a specific beer they actually do not carry at that restaurant. But when you were there, they bring it in from a sister restaurant just for you.
I get taken care of here and there at some restaurants, but no. Compared to how
beer is not on the menu, it is not available to normal customers. When they know Jim is coming in, they truck the beer in from another restaurant that's part of the group to make sure he has the beer.
Well, the kid likes his cheap domestics. What can I say? I don't want to drink anything that tastes like a, you know, big loaf of bread.
So you have some juice,
yeah, a little.
But now you got to flex on the headphones now. Like, basically, let's be honest, like, this is how we're starting the show. It's a desperate plea right. for Jim to get gratuitous headphones. Bose, I know you're based in Massachusetts. These happen to be the headphones Jim is wearing now. He's been a loyal customer for 8 years. Bose, if you're out there, Jim would pretty much like boxes of free headphones.
The siren call for free junk. That's all this show and this that my Twitter feed is.
Well, it's only 90 minutes. I mean, how much stuff can we get you in 90 minutes?
Well, it's funny you say, because this is one of the weekends in this week, but specifically this weekend, unless you're like, and we're lucky here because people actually care about hockey and the hockey team, and the Bruins have had a phenomenal season. But if you are in an area where you don't have hockey, like, this is a weekend where if you're working in sports radio, it's not great. And it's spring training, and it's baseball. Like, who gives a rat's ass? You know, people like 65-plus, basically. And the Red Sox have had a horrible offseason, so they can go F themselves. And NASCAR, like, oh, you got the Great American Race, yee-haw, tomorrow. Like, please. Have you ever, in all your years of working at the Globe and, you know, coming up as a young buck, did you ever have to go to Loudoun and cover any of those races? They got rid of one. I think they got rid of one in September.
So, actually, I actually don't mind NASCAR. I used to be into it more. It's on my bucket list to cover the Daytona 500. I've never done it. However, I have covered NASCAR. I covered in 2006 when Jimmy Johnson won his first championship. I don't remember what it was back then. I think it was Nextel Cup. I actually covered the final race of the year in Homestead, Florida. And that was the race. It was the final race, and he was crowned champion. So I have covered it before. It's actually kind of fun to cover.
I'm stunned to hear you say this.
Yeah, I enjoyed it. Well, first of all, I will say this. So they have something called a hot pass. And it means that you can go in the garages when the engines are on.
Mm-hmm.
And, it's for media members. Apparently, it's also for the most attractive women on the planet.
Okay.
Because I have never seen a sport that has hotter groupies than NASCAR.
Yeah, so, I mean, so the Leslie Bibb character in, what's the movie from, like, 15 years ago with Will Ferrell? Why am I have drawing a blank here?
Oh, yeah, Ricky Bobby.
Yeah, Ricky Bobby. So, yeah. Leslie Bibb, I mean, that's she's a composite character, I think,
totally.
Of what you're talking about.
Oh, my
so,
God,
all right, if you have the ass pass that you had and you get to go there, like, maybe that's a different experience. I've also been told by some of my friends who are NASCAR hillbillies that if you see a race south of the Mason-Dixon, it's way different than seeing it at Loudon.
Yeah, it is, yeah.
And without, you know, no disrespect to Loudon, because it's great. Like, if you have a fancy car, you can go apparently and pay, and, like, you know, you can race that track, and which is the balls if you have an awesome car and you have that kind of money to do that. But I will tell you, as a snob who is not a fan of that sport, if you can even call it that, three and a half hours of taking left turns, oh, man, when I worked at Rock 101, you know, one of the low points in my radio career, a rock station in New Hampshire that actually carries and covers the races. I had to cover those in the one they do in June or July, whatever it was, in September, and had to stay in a trailer for a few days to cover it from, like, Friday through Sunday.
Oh, wow.
Oh, God. Like, one of the worst experiences of my life, my radio career. Like, it can't get any worse. I'd rather be waiting tables. It's a better, more enriching job. That... Oh, God, and just people, it's like they've crawled out of primordial ooze. what a horrible, horrible event. So this is the weekend we have. It's the Great American Race tomorrow in the stupid NBA All-Star Game, which I know you still get your rocks
off for.
Even still, it's for the children.
First of all, this is a big night on my calendar. I love All-Star Saturday night, so... I'm pumped.
So this is why you did all your Valentine's stuff last night. It's a good thing Valentine's fell on Friday night, sweetie, because I've got to watch the All-Star, the skills event.
Yeah, slam dunk, 3-point. This was like my whole childhood. I used to, as a child, have a – we're just going on a tangent at this point, but I used to have a Valentine's Day party when I was in, like, you know, elementary school.
Oh, you mentioned this last week.
It was kind of like my calling card. You know, it was pretty big on the social calendar. And but one year, it fell, like, on – the party fell on, like, the same day as, like, the All-Star stuff. And this is when they didn't do everything at night. It was, like, when it was during – some of the stuff was during the day on Saturday. And I vividly remember guests arriving, and I was watching the NBA Slam Dunk Contest. It was the year that Kenny Skywalker won, which I think was 89 or 90. And my mom made me leave because she's like, your guests are here. You know, you're being rude. And I was like, you'll tape it, though, right? And she was like, uh-huh. Didn't tape it.
Oh.
It was, like, devastating. And to this day, when that dunk contest comes on, like, NBA TV, I will watch it because I'm like, oh, I don't remember this because I didn't get to see it, even though I've probably seen it five times by now.
There is something that people have kind of mocked. I've heard, you know, we did even, you know, behind the scenes during a commercial break, Maz was laughing at it, and I kind of don't blame him because you have Pat Connaughton, local boy, Pat Connaughton,
who
went to
zone.
Notre Dame, and, you know, he got drafted by Portland. Now he's on
the Bucks.
Oh, the Bucks.
That's
the Bucks.
Bucks. Yeah.
So he's in the dunk contest.
Yeah.
We're like, oh, let's have a laugh because the short little white kid is in the dunk contest. There's a reason for it. I can tell you firsthand. He used to work out before he got drafted. When he was still in Notre Dame, he used to work out occasionally at this CrossFit gym in Woburn that I would go to. And I watched that dude do box jumps once. He's no joke. So, like, is he going to win it? No, but don't be surprised when Pat Connaughton goes out and actually has a good showing tonight in the dunk contest. Like, that I would be worth is kind of worth tuning into for a few minutes. But beyond that, oh, what a hellish sports weekend. Yeah, thank God for the Bruins playing this afternoon and tomorrow in New York, because otherwise, they had a Great American Race tomorrow. And the NBA All-Star Game, please, the hell with that. Thankfully, Brady Watch continues, though.
Okay.
So that's where I thought we would start and spend most of our time, because I am willing to take 99.9% of any info that comes in on Brady from just about anyone, except for Dan Cilio, who still has the blue check mark, but the maligned radio host who is out of work for a reason. Just Google the words Dan Cilio and racist. You'll find out why he is not working for a radio station. And I think he's a hack anyway. I employed him for a minute, and then they realized, oh, he's a bad guy. We're going to fire him. That said, I'll take info from just about anybody, including Larry Fitzgerald Sr., dad of Larry Fitzgerald, who you mentioned on Felger and Maz yesterday. There's a connection to Fitzgerald and Brady in that they both do that creepy interview during the NFL season with Jim Gray. They're essentially like employees of Westwood One during the NFL season on Monday nights when they do that interview. So, I don't know, like, there's a connection there. And Larry Fitzgerald has been a sports writer for decades.
Yes.
And yesterday he tweets that the Raiders are ready to offer Brady $60 million over 2 years. I read that. I'm just going to speculate that that means $60 million guaranteed. It's $10 million more than the Drew Brees contract he last got with the New Orleans Saints, which is what the Patriots, in retrospect, should have given to Brady to make him happy. that if that's the number, Chris, like, and I was with Maz yesterday, if that's the number, that's it. He's gone. Like, I don't think the Patriots are going to give him that kind of guaranteed money. Again, this is with the speculation that that is guaranteed. If it's 2 years, that kind of dough, and he's locked in at that, it's not incentive-laden or anything like that, he is going to go. I think he's gone.
Well, I think if the Patriots come back and say, yeah, we'll give you 2 and 40, then yeah. But, again, that could be a leverage point for Tom. He could leverage the $30 million offer from the Raiders into, say, 27.5 or 28 from the Patriots, maybe. You know, that's what the question, because I don't think Brady's history is not that he's a guy where it's been all about money, right? We know that. So do you think he's just simply going to go to the highest bidder?
Well, I think the problem that ends up arising for the Patriots, if they were willing to match or come close, and then Tom is like, okay, well, you're giving me the years, which I think is more important than the actual money.
Yes,
in terms of respect. Well, I think him being surrounded by more weapons and more talent is important, too. So if they give him that kind of money, and they're not one of the top teams that has the most cap space, and I know it can be maneuvered and all that, but I don't know, just doing the quick math in my head and looking at it, like, all right, they give Tom that money, but then what? So if I'm Brady, okay, thank you, but who are you going to side at tight end? Can you go get Hunter Henry now? Doesn't seem like it. And can I trust you to actually draft any wide receiver or a tight end when, at least based on last year, N'Keal Harry had some injury woes there, but I don't know. Based on your history, Bill, I kind of don't trust you there, so why would you come back even if the money is right? You know what I'm saying?
I don't know, but I don't feel like guys like, say, Robbie Anderson or Emmanuel Sanders, do you feel like those guys are going to break the bank?
No, I mean, based on their age, no.
And I think you could even, let's see what happens with Sammy Watkins with the Chiefs. He's in the last year of that deal. They might have to clear some cap space as they do an extension for Patrick Mahomes right now. $16 million would be what you're looking at for a cap hit for Watkins. He might be out there. He might be willing to sort of sign a one-year make-good deal. Let me put up some numbers with Tom Brady. I just think, look, it would be hard to get A.J. Green or Amari Cooper, but I didn't think they were going to get those guys either way, whether Brady's back or not. I think they're looking at sort of the second tier of receivers. You see what's up with Cleveland. Are they willing to move on from Odell Beckham Jr.? I doubt it, but, I mean, his contract's not that bad considering – the type of player that he is. I mean, it's about $15 million a year in terms of the AAV. So I think, again, I mean, Belichick has said this. We all know cap space can be maneuvered in a variety of ways. And let's see what happens with some of the guys they end up moving on from. Maybe they have to make a very difficult choice between bringing in a weapon for Brady and, say, re-signing Devin McCourty. I think Van Noy is probably gone. I think Tooney is probably gone. Is there anybody else? You know, do they decide they want to move on for Marcus Cannon, who I think is a little overpaid for a right tackle? I think there's other ways that you can create this space, even if you give Brady his money.
Yeah, and the other reason I put more stock into this report by Larry Fitzgerald Sr., it's now been picked up by Mike Florio or Pro Football Talk, who has since aggregated the story and written more about it this morning. Talking about the number, the 2 years, $60 million, he writes, the number is not surprising, not with the market for quarterbacks around $35 million per year. For Brady, the bigger question will be fit with team, coaching staff, city, and offense. It's a new football city and a new football stadium. And for Brady, a new offense with a new coach who has a reputation for being more than a little aggressive with his quarterbacks. Of course, that is talking about John Gruden. But will Brady and his family want to live in Las Vegas? Will he want to play in the same division as the Chiefs, which means he'd face Patrick Mahomes and be called old by Chris Jones at least twice per year, and the Broncos, especially in light of his repeated struggles in games played at Denver? That part I kind of buy into. You know, that's one of the things that I would think would be a detriment for him going to the Chargers or the Vegas Raiders, because you're playing in a very difficult division.
True.
What about the New York Giants? This is the one that all of a sudden popped up out of nowhere again this week, courtesy of our very own Scott Zolak. I don't know if you heard this audio, but I want to get your thoughts on this coming up, Chris. It's only 90 minutes of Gasper Murray. We will get to the Celtics. They're worth talking about. Even though, you know, they as a team don't play for another week, Chris still wants to, you know, take his pants off for the NBA All-Star break, but we can take our pants off for their win over the Clippers, the double overtime win, coming up in just about 45 minutes. We'll do 30 minutes of the Sports Up Celtics show then. But until then, it's Brady, and I want your thoughts on Nick Caserio staying here. I just feel like the demotivational plaque has gone back up. You're here forever. It's when Bill turns back into Mr. Burns. You're never leaving. You're here forever, Nick. So he stays. We'll get Chris's thoughts on that. And Brady maybe going to the New York Giants. I think he's gone regardless. But if you want to join the show at any point here, 617-779-0985. It's Gasper and Murray.
Gasper and Murray. 98.5, the Sports Hub. You're listening to Gasper and Murray.
Fantastic chemistry.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
At Scott Zolak tweeted out yesterday afternoon, NYG, all caps, at 4:20 p.m. yesterday afternoon. That was all you tweeted. What does that mean?
I got off the phone with a person that I know, not from the Brady side.
Person that I know.
Not from the Brady side, but very connected. And I was like, I did that M-Sculpt thing. So I got on the phone as soon as I got out of there. And I'm talking to this person. And I'm like, okay, what the hell's going on? Give me some updates. What do we got here? I was like, well, just be careful. Just don't fall asleep on that one team. And I'm like, yeah, I know what team. Tennessee. And they're like, What? Tennessee? And I said, Dallas. Not Dallas. No. So Dallas is out. Dallas is out. NYG. New York Giants. I said, what?
So does Brady maybe have a New York state of mind this offseason? That's the team he's looking at, and that's the team that's going to offer him a mountain of money. In terms of cap space, that would make sense. I think they're top four. They got around $70 million in cap space, and again, it can always be maneuvered. It's Casper Murray, 98.5, the Sports Hub. But I don't know. While there's reasons, other reasons as well that might make it make more sense, in that you're playing in the NFC East, in which 9-7, for all intents and purposes, it could have you win that division. So easier road, stay on the East Coast. They have the house reportedly, in Southern Connecticut, in Fairfield County. So easy commute. You're in New York. It's good for your wife too. She gets to still have her toe in the modeling industry, which is huge there. And what was the other reason I was just thinking of as well?
Well, there's where you have Patriot people there. Joe Judge is there.
Well, but I think that might be a detriment. Maz, through his Apple Watch and his sources, hears that Brady wasn't the biggest fan of Joe Judge. You also have Jason Garrett, who's the new OC there, and he's a clapping boob. Freddie Kitchens is the tight ends coach. So the coaching there, I don't know.
Do you know who the quarterback's coach is?
Jerry Shaplinski. Exactly. So that's a plus on the Brady side. And he had worked with him here as a quarterback's coach before. The thing is, so it's an easier division. So, if you were going to go to the AFC West, again, you're dealing with the Chargers. I mean, if he goes to the Chargers, you have to deal with Patrick Mahomes and, Denver, going to Denver. Yeah. We know what a bugaboo that's been for Brady throughout the years. NFC East, the thing that doesn't make any sense, if you're going to draft Daniel Jones that high, you sit him for, 2 years behind Brady all of a sudden when you've made that kind of investment? And, kid made some nice throws of points last year. He seemed to be a turnover machine. And I know that part of this, at least from Jason Lacanfora going back about a month ago, said maybe part of the sell job to some of these potential teams looking at Brady is, well, I can mentor a young quarterback. I can, fold him into TB12 and get him indoctrinated there. Fine. If you're talking about someone maybe like Gardner Minshew, who was drafted later in a draft and he was more of a work in progress, Jones, for being that high of a pick, that part to me doesn't make much sense. What do you think of what Zolak said in the Giants maybe being one of these sneaky teams in on Brady?
I mean, it would make some sense from Tom's standpoint. From a lifestyle standpoint, that's a team that's good for him. I had sort of written them off because of the presence of Daniel Jones and also because of just the way that organization is. Who would be driving the bus of that decision, I guess, would be my question. Would it be ownership with the Mara family and the Tishes? Would it be Dave Gettleman, who really staked his entire reputation at this point, I think, on drafting Daniel Jones and probably wants to see that pay off for him? So is it Joe Judge, who knows how good Brady is and has some sort of relationship with him, even if it's not the greatest, but he certainly has a relationship with him and understands what it's like to have Tom Brady as your quarterback from his time in New England? So it's ultimately who's driving the bus of that decision and who has the final call, because the Giants are an interesting organization in that they really believe in a separation of power, and they don't believe in sort of having, the coach who has player personnel control, and they like to split everything up, and that can make it harder to come to a consensus. And how would that work? How would that work there? But I could see from Tom's standpoint maybe why that would be attractive to him. I mean, there's some decent weapons there. Golden Tate, Sterling Shepard, obviously Saquon Barkley. And again,
Darius Slayton, you could have made a case it was the best wide receiver drafted last year in
Darius
the fifth
Slayton,
round, had the
point.
Most touchdowns. So, yeah, the weapons are all right. The offensive line could certainly use some help. I mean, some familiarity there with Nate Solder at left tackle, but it's not great, and the defense stinks. So, I don't know. I still think that that's a team that's building, I just don't know why, outside of some pieces offensively, why that would be that attractive of a spot. Outside of, it's New York. It's a major market.
Yeah.
It's not that much of a move for them. But if you're there to win,
But you said it. I mean, look at the division. I mean, you have the chronically underachieving Cowboys. Now Mike McCarthy's their coach. You have the Eagles, who are always somewhere around, 9-7. Washington is a total rebuild. If you add Tom Brady to the Giants and they have a halfway decent draft, and I know Gettleman has had good drafts in the past, and he very much believes in his ability to evaluate talent in the draft, And if Brady goes there, suddenly are you able to attract free agents? It's New York. It's Brady. Are you able to attract some free agents with that cap space? It could be a really quick turn for them. Like, they could go from non-contender to contender, at least in that division, pretty quickly.
Yeah, and that speaks to something that Tom Curran of NBC Sports Boston wrote a little while back, too, is that, you know, we may not be thinking here, you know, in that some of these teams could build a super team because of, you know, the attractiveness of going to maybe a market like New York and playing with Tom Brady. And I just remembered the other thing that makes going to the Giants attractive for Brady, if Ben Volen of the Boston Globe is to be believed, that one of the things Brady might not want to do is go to a team that immediately has to face the Patriots or be in the division, you know, in Miami. You're playing them twice a year. Guess what? Giants, you just played them this past season on a Thursday night. That's it for the next 3 years. And by that time, Brady's probably going to be retired, I would think. So if you go to the New York Giants, that's it. You don't face the Pats. And I think that might be a little bit attractive to him. But overall, like, I don't know. Like, I just, that one, I still don't see it with the Daniel Jones thing. The Daniel Jones thing, I think, is the bigger sticking point more than anything else. Tom Curran also wrote yesterday, Chris, that the don't be surprised if the Patriots, if one of these teams ends up signing him. And you have to think, based on free agency and how it goes, you know, 12:01, the clock strikes, you know, teams are making these signings, it's being announced, that the Patriots would maybe go after one of these teams for tampering. Do you think that would be petty? I do.
I do. I think that would be incredibly petty. You've had 3 years to sign the guy. The contract is the contract where it automatically voids, so everybody knows it. I mean, the contract is set up, essentially, for him to become a free agent. And so if you prevent him from enjoying sort of the spoils of being a free agent like any other free agent, when your big concession was, we want to make sure Tom, if he comes back here, feels good about it, and this is something that's important to Tom, so we can't franchise him, we're not going to do that to him. That was your big concession, and you're talking about sort of how magnanimous you are in doing that, and then you turn around and file tampering charges. I think you're being a little hypocritical.
Yeah, like you just said, it's about the, you know, them not placing the franchise tag on him. You're allowing him to be a free agent for the first time in his career. You're essentially saying, if you want to walk, you can walk. But given their history, from Parcells to what just happened this past year with the Houston Texans and them flirting with Nick Caserio, like, you know, there's history there. With the way that they've set this up with Brady, though, like you said, like, it just would, he would look foolish. I think it would be a bad.
I think if that were to happen, that would be more from the football operations Belichick side than from ownership, the tampering part of it.
Well, I'll tell you what, if he goes to the Giants, you can expect it to happen.
Yeah, exactly. that's kind of, I'm saying the same thing. I'm with you on that. The one thing, here's the thing. This is going to be interesting because I think that obviously this is a tug of war between egos, between Brady and Belichick to a degree. But really, and I know everyone's saying, and Adam Schefter said this, like, you know, the Patriots are going to have a plan. They're not going to sit around and wait for Tom Brady. My question would be, why not? He's the best option. Like, do you really think, you know, Marcus Mariota is going to say, oh, you know, I have to sign with the Jacksonville Jaguars right now. Sorry, I can't wait. No, it's going to be like MLB free agency. Everybody's going to wait to see the way the board falls, and Tom's the biggest chip, and they'll go from there. And so if Bill basically says, well, I'm just going to trade for Andy Dalton, you know, screw Brady, I think that's a tremendous amount of hubris to do that. I really do, and I think it's a mistake. You know, play it out. Make sure you have a backup plan, but don't jump the gun out of spite and take your best option off the board. I think that would be incredibly dumb.
I agree with you, but wouldn't that also maybe require ownership having to step in? Because I could see Bill wanting to do that. He ain't going to wait around for anyone, yeah. You know, and there's no player bigger than the team. And I think sometimes he's stubborn to a fault. Just go back to the Super Bowl against the Eagles a few years ago. And you would also send the fan base, I think, into a straight panic if all of a sudden you hear that the Patriots have dealt for Andy Dalton. You know, it's like you're putting this thing in motion.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I just think you have the ability to be patient there. I mean, look how patient you were. And now, I feel like it didn't work out in your favor, but how patient were you with Jimmy Garoppolo? How long did you let that thing play out? How long did you try and sign him and keep him? You just kept going and going and going and going. So the reality is you're not going to do that for Tom Brady. Like, you can't wait for the first 3 days of free agency to figure out where Brady's going. You're telling me that at 4:01 p.m. on March 18th, if Brady's not signed, Belichick's just going to say, forget it. I'm trading for Andy Dalton. I'm signing Marcus Mariota. You know, I'm doing whatever. I mean, first of all, I think it's going to take a while for some of the – take Brady out of it, Jim. For some of the other potential options to materialize, I think is going to take some time. Not a lot of time. Things move quickly during free agency. But I think it would take a couple of days because I think there will be a domino effect from wherever Brady goes. If Brady goes to Vegas, well, now Derek Carr, right? He's an extraneous piece there. If Brady goes to, say, the Giants, then some of these other quarterbacks are going to look at it and say, okay, you know, how's the board going to fall here for me? Now New England's open. That's a good place to go. I just think there's things that are going to happen based on where Brady goes. Like if Brady goes to Tennessee, now Tannehill's out, right? Tannehill's on the board. Does that change what some other team does? I think you sort of have to let this play out. And if you just think, like, I'm Bill Belichick, I can win with anybody, I'm just going to trade for Andy Dalton at 4:02 p.m. on March 18th. I don't know. I mean, you know, Bill doesn't get a lot wrong, but I would say that would be getting it wrong. Because whether it's Brady or not, I'm not sure you're getting the absolute best quarterback you can get if you do that.
So the report yesterday from Larry Fitzgerald Sr. is that the Las Vegas Raiders are getting ready to offer Tom Brady 2 years at $60 million. I have to assume that's guaranteed. You just heard Chris mention the Tennessee Titans. If you were to go there, Tannehill would be out. Someone else makes a case for the Tennessee Titans. That would be Colin Cowherd. Let's hit the bong with him next here on Gasper and Murray.
This is Gasper and Murray.
You will listen.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
On our show, we love pies. We love a good, delicious pie. And I was going to do a Brady pie this morning. Because I think it's at least optically, it's the easiest thing to put your arms around. 70% of the pie, I think Tom's going back to New England. Not because he's totally happy, but moving at his age, learning a new offense is a pain in the rear. I'll give 1% to retirement, 4% a surprise team. I just don't buy the Chargers. I don't. I have connections to the franchise. I don't buy them. I don't buy Oakland. I don't care that he bought a house there. I don't buy that. I don't buy Miami. A team I'm going to throw out there, and the more I think about this, I think they're the favorite in the clubhouse beyond New England. It's the Tennessee Titans. And I'll tell you why I think this. They solve the annoyances that are currently unsolvable. He would have a lot more fun. And they've got weapons. Nashville is also a cool city. I don't think that's the be-all, end-all. But if you said Indianapolis or Nashville, most people with money and options would choose Nashville as a place to live. I certainly would. I think Tom Brady would. I don't think that's the be-all, end-all. But I do think Nashville's a fun, cool, hip city where, you know, it's still close to the Eastern time zone. I think Nashville, to me, kind of gained steam. And the other thing that matters here, Mike Vrabel knows his culture and his language. The GM's a former Patriot. There are Patriots all through the building. Here's my Tom Brady, my official final Tom Brady delicious pie. 70% New England, 25% Titans, 4% shocker, 1% I give up. I'm quitting.
No, don't quit. I love your stony monologues. Colin Cowherd of FS1 with another one of those soliloquies. It's just like a little bit out there. Gasper Murray, 98.5, a Sports Hub. But frankly, I was hoping he'd go for a little bit more of a literal pie, Chris. Like, I'd like to think of Brady as a strawberry rhubarb pie. Tom is the rhubarb. Lean, strong, bendable, somewhat bitter. Bitter at the strawberry. Who is Bill Belichick? See, Tom used to like strawberries, just like he used to like Bill. On their own, they don't taste as good. They don't work alone. Together, the taste and what they produce on the field, harmonious. The perfect pie. Tom and Bill are the strawberry and rhubarb pie. Sometimes you get that kind of whack job stuff.
That's an amazing Cowherd.
That's
wow.
Why I like him. But no, he makes the case for the Tennessee Titans, who I feel have kind of dipped a little bit as of late. Do you still think that they're one of the teams in the mix?
I do. I think they're laying in the weeds. And here's the interesting thing for me. I know they like Tannehill, and Tannehill played really well last year. But my advice to two guys that I like and respect, and Jonathan Robinson, who used to be here and is the general manager, and Mike Vrabel, would be don't get fooled. Don't get fooled. You know, that was great, the way Tannehill played during the regular season. I didn't think he was great in the game he played here, although he made some clutch throws. The reality is, though, Tannehill has a ceiling, and I don't think you're ever going to be able to get out of the AFC and get to the Super Bowl with Tannehill as your quarterback. You can do it with Brady.
Oh, last year was the high watermark. That's it. You're never going to get there.
Don't get fooled. That would be my advice to them. Brady would still be an upgrade. Now, there are some things Tannehill can do that Tom can't that fit that offense with
mobility.
Arthur Smith. Yeah, because they
those
like
rollouts.
Some, yes. Yeah. And that sort of fits that offense because Arthur Smith left in place some of the stuff that was there from Matt LaFleur the year before. And Matt LaFleur's offense is the offense that's given us Jared Goff and Italian Goff. So that offense likes a little mobility in the quarterback and can make an average quarterback look better than he really is.
Well, speaking of all that, you also had a quarterback chaos theory, too. Yes. And you were talking about, you know, how Brady's the linchpin here and all these movements and whether he goes to the Raiders, then that makes Carr available. Yeah. There's a real wacky one that you mentioned yesterday in Philbin Mass. For anyone that missed it, go ahead.
Well, this is my sort of Colin Cowherd moment. You're looking for a sleeper team here, right? And if I were talking to Tom directly, I'd say, Tom, you got to think about the Minnesota Vikings. That team is built to win now. They lost to the 49ers in the playoffs. They have really good weapons with Thielen and Diggs, Irv Smith, Kyle Rudolph, Dalvin Cook. The defense is pretty good. The coach is solid in Mike Zimmer. You get to play in a dome. And if I'm the Vikings, look, Cousins made some strides, but I don't know if he's ever going to be able to take you where you want to go. And so I would say, you know, look at that one. Try and blend Gary Kubiak's running game with Tom Brady's passing game and have like a hybrid offense. Now, that would obviously have sort of a butterfly effect here, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if Brady ends up with Minnesota, Minnesota could trade Cousins, who's in the final year of his contract. He has a lot of admirers around the league, particularly from that Kyle Shanahan, McVay tree. So I think that then in San Francisco, Kyle Shanahan went to a Super Bowl with a good, not great quarterback, says, well, I know Cousins. He's good, not great, and I trust him. I think I trust him more than my guy.
That's who he wanted originally.
That is who he wanted. And remember, those guys have said, Shanahan has said that the decision with Jimmy was difficult because they knew Cousins was going to be it. It wasn't like they got offered Jimmy and it was like a slam dunk. Yeah. They had to think about it a little bit. And so then you have Cousins go to San Francisco. Now, suddenly, Jimmy G, he's without a seat. And then old Bill Belichick sends a couple of texts to Jimmy with the heart emoji, the eggplant emoji. Come back, Jimmy, come back. The Patriots trade for him. Maybe they give up, I don't know, a second-round pick to get Jimmy G back in New England, and everybody's a winner. Everybody's happy.
Yeah, I get that. Yeah, so I don't want to have to watch Garoppolo here, but I know that Bill Belichick obviously thinks very highly of him. He'd get the best out of him. Would you win a championship with him? Probably not, because he blew it, and he had a 10-point lead just a few weeks ago in the Super Bowl. That is crazy. And this is now the second time you've mentioned Minnesota. You mentioned it towards the end of the year. Are you sure you don't know something?
I don't. I'm just throwing it out there. And honestly, I think it's less likely than when I mentioned it before. It's less likely now that Kevin Stefanski has gone to Cleveland. And there were some people out there, I thought, you know, Chad O'Shea's out there. Maybe he would go to Minnesota where he worked before. Now that they have Kubiak as the offensive coordinator, you know, they're going to run that sort of Mike Shanahan style offense, which I don't think Tom is the greatest fit for. But I think if you're a smart team, what you do is you meld that running game with Tom's passing knowledge and elements of a passing game Tom's comfortable with, and you can make it work. That's what great coaches do. You coach to the talent. And I think if you had that team with Tom Brady as quarterback, I mean, imagine him in that division.
Oh,
not
boy,
only are you playing all your home games inside, but you know, you're playing against Detroit, that's inside. Right?
Yeah.
I mean, I just think you look at
I think looking at the schedule, there's only like two or three games that are outdoors next year.
Yeah.
Yeah. No,
I mean,
with
think
those
that
weapons,
would make, from
ridiculous.
A football standpoint, it would make sense. And I don't, you know, they owe Cousins like $29 million this year. I don't think Brady would cost much more than that in a yearly basis. And remember, they're the team that gave a three-year, a guaranteed contract, the first fully guaranteed contract to Cousins. So why wouldn't they give a two-year fully guaranteed contract to Brady?
That'd be crazy. No, great weapons for him there. And think of the Uggs you could sell there, Tom. To use another food analogy, think of yourself as the local Minnesota delicacy, the Juicy Lucy, a hamburger filled with cheese that oozes cheese. You would go there and have weapons like Thielen and Diggs and Rudolph, and you would ooze confidence. Tom should go to the Minnesota Vikings and be a Juicy Lucy. I'm telling you, you can't convince me that Cowherd doesn't smoke up, or Cowherd smokes up before some of those shows. I mean, that's what I should do.
Your Cowherd is really good.
Thank you. Dan and Cranston, first up here on Gaspar Murray this morning. Hi.
Hey, Jim, I was going to say, if you're always bored, you can always watch the last 8 minutes of the Super Bowl on a continuous loop.
Oh, so I've already watched it. I've watched it a couple of times already on NFL Network. I need a life.
Yeah, all you need the last 8 minutes, and then you'll be in your joy. Hey, Chris, there's one fact about the Brady thing that I think gets overlooked, and it's the cap situation with him before and after the 18th. I just can't. Can you see in any way, shape, or form that 13.5 is automatically on next year's books if they don't sign him before free agency, right?
It is, assuming that there's not a CBA extension that gets done. The reason it all fully accelerates is because we're in the final league year. If somehow they were to come to an agreement on a CBA extension, I think the Patriots would be able to spread it out over 2 years. That's my understanding. But I'll just say this. I mean, my understanding, the inclination that I've gotten, call this informed speculation, is that the $13.5 million, although not ideal for the Patriots, is not an automatic deal breaker. That's what I've been led to believe. Well,
don't forget about the five on Antonio Brown. They get a lot of dead money they got to deal with.
No, they definitely do. But, I mean, what I've been led to believe is that the 13.5 is not an automatic deal breaker for not bringing Brady back.
What do you mean? Speaking of Antonio Brown, have you noticed what he's been up to this week? Like, it's been like the Mea Culpa tour.
Yeah, and like his new songs on SoundCloud.
Oh God, please! I'm like, stay in your lane. It makes me crazy.
I mean, you're a music guy. Can you review those songs?
F failure. Stay in your lane, dude. Like, what are you doing? You make yourself look even more crazy when you're putting out terrible music like that.
But you know, it's terrible. You haven't listened.
And it's just like, oh no, I heard one of them.
You
actually
did?
Yeah, I heard a clip, like 30-second clip on Twitter, because he showed up to Hot 97 in New York with Ebro Darden in the morning. Like, so it's this Mea Culpa tour. He's trying to get back into the league. It's more obvious than ever. He has the, you know, this apology on Instagram to Ben Roethlisberger, never knew how good I had it. Like,
yeah, I think he's trying to get back to Pittsburgh.
Yeah, it seems so disingenuous. But you know who keeps supporting it? If you look at any of these Instagram posts right there with the sausage emoji and the big like, it's Tom Brady. So if he goes to another team, if he were to go to Miami, oh, please, he will be first in line. Be like, bring him in. I loved working with him for all of one game in Miami last year. I want your thoughts on Nick Caserio staying, as Bill Belichick put in the demotivational plaque, you're here forever. We'll get to that next before we get to the Sports Hub Celtics show coming up in just about 10 minutes.
Stay tuned for more Gasper and Murray on 98.5 The Sports Hub. This is Gasper and Murray on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Because you see, you're here forever.
I'm blessed to be here. I enjoy every day. Each day is a new opportunity to try to improve and get better, and that's what I'm focused on doing.
Don't forget, you're here forever.
All right, so you didn't touch on this yesterday with Felger and Maz. I want your thoughts on this, because I was really surprised. The news this week from Ben Volen, Boston Globe, that Nick Caserio and the Patriots have agreed to a contract extension? Gasper Murray, 98.5, the Sports Hub, with the Sports Hub Celtics show coming up in just about 5 minutes. Go back to last summer, where tampering charges are filed by the Patriots and the Houston Texans at the ring ceremony. There's all this sniffing around trying to get Caserio to be the GM of the Houston Texans. Season ends. Bill O'Brien, blows it again. There's no GM there. Doesn't get fired as head coach. Don't know why. Still there, and also names himself the GM. So no more position for Nick Caserio to try to go there. But it did feel like, based on the writings of your colleague Ben Volen of the Globe last summer, Caserio wanted out.
He wanted out
in the worst possible way.
Yeah, I mean, I can confirm that. He would have taken that Houston job.
Yeah.
I have a source who's close to him. And, he definitely was interested. And he was interested the last 2 years.
So part of that audio there coming back from commercials, of course, was Bill Belichick as Mr. Burns with the demotivational plaque saying, you're here forever. Followed by Caserio at that awkward press conference after he didn't take the Houston job and all the tampering took place, where he had the red dot on his chest that was appearing from the side of the stage from Belichick.
That's right. I forgot about that.
He's saying, oh, no, I'm happy to be here. Uh-huh. I love it so much. It just felt like it was imminent that he would be gone, even just for pride's sake. And he signs the extension. So what do you make of all this?
Well, I was talking to someone probably like December, end of the season, near that, maybe right before the playoff game, somewhere around there. And they put it at 50-50, him coming back. So that was shocking to me. Like, the odds had sort of changed. Like, it was like, whoa, 50-50? Like, we were all assuming he was gone and his contract was obviously up after this draft. Now he signs this extension. What I'm curious about is who was driving the bus of this? And my guess would be it was more the Crafts, who don't want to be put in a situation where there's no continuity once Bill eventually goes. And look, I think Nick's really important to Bill. Don't get me wrong. I think he highly values him. But I think if you're the Crafts, you look at it and say, well, you know, Josh was out there again sniffing around jobs. That's 2 years in a row. If he gets the right opportunity, he's gone. So where and how would we move forward without Bill? And I think the answer is Nick Caserio.
So I like this, and I liked Tony Maz's conspiracy theory as well. Did you hear this?
No.
That this was the Crafts saying to Caserio, stay, because we're going to probably end up having an offer Tom money that Bill won't want to, which will force Bill's hand. He'll stay here for the season, and then he'll be out, and then it's going to be you and Josh.
Ooh, that's interesting. Yeah, I mean, I could foresee that. That's kind of a good, that's a good conspiracy theory. You know, because the issue that the Patriots were running into was that basically Bill is doing to Josh and Nick what Tom did to Jimmy G. He's outlasting them. He's outlasting the timetable for succession. And it's forcing those guys to kind of look elsewhere. So this kind of resets it with Nick under contract. And yeah, if that were to happen, if they were to sort of force Brady down Bill's throat and Bill were in a situation where he's going to say, I'm only going to do this for another year or two now, and then I'm going to leave here and go somewhere else, because I don't think he would leave football. I don't think he'd retire. I think he'd go somewhere else as a GM or a coach or whatever. And then they would be set up. Then you could turn to Nick and Josh, or at least you have Nick for continuity's sake, and he finds a coach, and you feel pretty good about your organization moving forward.
What I hope it just isn't is that it's, well, I got nowhere else to go, so I might as well stay. And I hope that that's happened so many times with personnel, players. When the whole beef with Vince Wilfork going back 7-8 years ago, I figured he was gone. That was it. Like, that thing got real ugly. And then, no, at the end of the day, no, I'll take the deal and I'll stay. Because it's just, and I get it, it's easier to stay. And it's probably not that bad of a situation, but I don't know. I have some pride, man. And I hope that Brady doesn't follow this type of path, if that's what it is. You know what I mean? Like, well, I'm 43, and do I really want to start over with a new offense and go somewhere else? It's just easier to stay. Because I still think he'd be miserable like he was this season. Again, week 3, Buffalo, you win the game, and he was acting after that game like someone shot his dog in front of him. And I just don't think that's going to change just because, well, it's just easier to stay than move. You know what I mean? Like,
I don't know. I mean, it's tough. I mean, you get older, you know how it is. Like, yeah. We're older. Like, you're more resistant to change. It's hard to sort of start over. And, you know, I think with Nick, the situation with Nick, I think he's always been very selective. He's had a lot of opportunities that he's turned down. He's turned down opportunities to even interview for jobs. And when you look at it, once the situation in Houston transpired the way that it did, and you sort of have Jack Easterby and Bill O'Brien stepping into that power vacuum, and I think Nick was also sort of aware of the fact that even if his contract expired and he went to Houston, that maybe there would be, I'll tell you this, I think the Patriots put the fear of God in young McNair there, who's running that team, with the tampering thing.
Yeah,
you know, and so maybe he felt like there'd still be sort of this cloud hanging over it. Maybe the Patriots would still file some sort of tampering charge, even if the contract were up. And there was really nowhere else for him to go. And it's like, Richard, you know, I got nowhere else to go. Where else was he going to go at this point in the offseason?
Eric and Walpole on the Patriots. You're next here on Gaspar Murray. Hello.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Good. What's
good.
So I have a really hot take for you guys. So I'm saying, even if he doesn't come back, they go out there and they say, you know, let's test free agency. We'll sign a very, like, quarterback who we think is and not that great. Fast forward to 2020. They are the team that lands Trevor Lawrence in the draft next year.
Eric, you know, I don't hate it because that's what I would want, but it's a pipe dream because Bill Belichick's not going to tank. The wins record is too important to him. That's the thing. You're never going to see a Bill Belichick team tank
especially the year if they let Tom Brady. So he's going to tank the year after Brady goes?
No.
His ego can't handle that.
No, and I heard from a source last night. You know, I'm never this guy, but if Brady were to leave, you know, because we've been talking like, okay, we're going to get a re-energized Brady and like, you know, and reinvigorate it. He'll probably show up to OTAs for another team.
Yeah.
We haven't really talked about collectively how the Patriots would also be reinvigorated. And I heard last night, it was on Boston Sports Tonight. If you watched, you could probably do Process of Elimination. But I heard behind the scenes, I was like, oh, no, that would be a real thing for them, too. Like, oh, you're going to leave us? Oh, no, it would be, how was it phrased to me? Like, over their dead body, are they going to, would that team finish with a worse record than the team Tom goes to?
Yeah, exactly. So, I think both sides.
And that's what
that
I want to see at this, because, again, if it's going to play out like this last year, which I thought was a, basically an unwatchable slog after a while. And the 12-4 was fake. They ended up losing on wild card weekend like they should have. Like, they finished the way that they should have, because that's what that team really was. And if it's going to play out like that again, I'm good. The legacy's not going to be tainted. I want to see how it looks on both sides. Bill with a different quarterback. Tom reinvigorated with a new team and re-energized the last couple of years before he retires. I think it'd be fascinating to watch. I think it'd be the balls to watch, because I think you will get the best out of both sides. And with that, let's get to the Sports Hub Celtics show after the Sports Hub headlines with Bain.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.